fact that we're sitting here on a Thursday night and reading the
book. Baruch Hashem. All right, we'll say good evening. Let's begin. So I want to share with you a mamasha, what I think is a very beautiful idea from the Rebbe. So remember again, Parshas Korach, the dramatic machlokus between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Really, it's not between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not part of the machlokus. Moshe Rabbeinu has machlokus foisted upon him. Moshe Rabbeinu again tries to respond with shalom, but ultimately again, when there's no partner in peace, so drastic events occur. Earth opens up, swallows up Korach and all of his followers. Terrible tragedy for Klal Yisrael. On the flip side, the role of Aaron HaKohen is solidified, not just for then, but for all eternity. So take a look at letter A, the pasuk on top. This is Perek Tezayin pasuk Gimel. Vayikalu Moshe v'al Aaron v'yomer aleihem rav lochem. So this is when Korach is bringing the group to Moshe and to Aaron, and Korach says to Moshe, rav lochem, you've taken too much for yourselves. Kikala Ida Kulam Kidoshim, everyone is holy. Ubisocham Hashem and Rimon Shom is in our midst. Umadua Tisna Su'u Al Kahal Hashem. And why do you lord over the assembly of God? So here you have Korach saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, essentially you're no better than the rest of us. Kulam Kidoshim, we're all holy. We're all holy. So for all holy, why do you hold yourself out to be better than anyone else? So the Rebbe here says something truly beautiful. So the Shaila, of course, that everybody tries to understand is what exactly was the taina of Korach? See, Korach's major argument is encapsulated in the idea of Kulam Kidoshim. We're all holy. Now I will say, what's the problem with that argument? It's true, we're all holy. But what Korach seems to be saying is, we're all holy, and we're all what? We're all equal. But in reality, how is Korach able to say that? Moshe Rabbeinu, again, is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shasisi. He speaks at the Ribono shel Olam. How can you actually say that we're equal? Again, we'll say, you can make the statement, we're all holy. Kulam kidoshim is a true statement, but Korach doesn't just mean it in a way that we're all holy. He's saying we're all holy and we're all equal. So the Shaila is, what is Korach's actual argument? What is it that he's actually saying?
There has to be an element of validity to it, otherwise
correct.
People would have completely
correct.
Just...
Remember again...
A sheker has good truth to it.
A sheker always has to have some truth. And remember again, I mean, understand, you know, anytime you have a fight, there's always going to be some people who just latch onto it, no matter what the cause is, because they just like to fight. But Bepashtos, when you're attracting 250 leaders, so you can't assume that everybody is just out for a fight. There have to be some people that were mamish convinced by the argument. And by the way, not only that, I'll tell you even stronger. To start up with Moshe Rabbeinu is such a bad idea. Meaning it's so illogical. The only thing that could possibly lead you to start up with Moshe Rabbeinu is if mamish you are so convinced as to the validity of your particular argument. So the Rebbe struggles to try to understand, Sinu Korach, at the end of the day, what was the argument? And the Rebbe advances something truly beautiful. The Rebbe says as follows. Look what he writes, paragraph B. Kol hato'u shel Korach, hayam shemachmas gasuso, paragraph C, nidmalo shakol shavim. See, Korach, as a result of his arrogance, and we'll discuss what this means, mamish believed that everyone was the same. Everyone was the same. Below Ratzalaham, so what does that mean, everyone is the same? What does that statement mean? Below Ratzalaham, Shegama Tzadikim HaKidoshim, Tzrichim Milchama Gidola Im Ayetza Harash Shalamala, Shebechinas Dinim. What Korach couldn't believe, and again, we're going to translate, and then we're going to explain. What Korach could not believe, what he did not want to believe, is that even the greatest of tzaddikim requires an incredible milchama, requires incredible war, incredible battle, with his yetzer hara each and every day. Va'amar, what was Korach's hashkaf? What did Korach assume? Korach said, Va'amar, shemi shezoche lema'alos hagidolim, shuv in sarach milchama klal. We'll say this is so profound. What was Korach's hashkafa? Korach's hashkafa was that he assumed that once a person is privileged to reach what he calls the Milas Hagidolim. Milas Hagidolim means what? I've reached the threshold of tzidkus. I'm a tzaddik. Once a tzaddik, what did Korach assume?
No more working.
No more working. Right? You don't have to work anymore. Meaning, Once you cross the finish line, once you cross the threshold of piety, of spirituality, shuv ein tzarech milchama klal. Once you vanquish the Yetzirah, you're good. You're done. There's no more work to do. So once you've arrived, you've arrived. Vim kein, hakol shovim, ve'in chiluk ben Moshe ve'aron ben shar ha'gidolim. Says the Rebbe, if you adopt this approach, that once a person crosses the threshold of spiritual success, then by definition they're golden. By definition, there's nothing else to do. There's no longer any kind of milchamas hayetzer. So then if you understand it that way, then indeed, all you have to do in life is what? What? One time, get across the finish line. And once you get across the finish line, once your holiness, your spirituality, your sense of dveikus is locked in forever. And as such, again, if that's the case, if we actually believe that, then what? Then Einach Inami, you can make the statement of Kulam Kidoshim. Im Kein HaKol Shavin. Everyone is indeed equal. Ve'ein Chilik Bein Moshe Ve'aron Bein Shar HaGidolim. And there really is no difference between Moshe, Aaron, and all the other great people. Ubiprat, so we'll say, so you understand what the Rebbe is saying. This was Korach's premise. Now, where did Korach get this from? Where did Korach get this from? So this was Korach's flawed ideology or flawed understanding of spirituality. Korach thought that spirituality is a linear journey. What happens on a linear journey? I'm traveling from here to New York. So we'll say, so what happens once I arrive in New York? What happens?
I'm there.
I'm done. Now, again, I could choose to take another journey afterwards, but Lamaisa, once I get to New York, the journey ultimately is complete. Korach understood that the spiritual journey essentially matches the physical journey. The same way in the physical journey, once you get to your destination, you're done. Korach thought that in spirituality, it's the same yesod. Once I get to my destination, then by definition, I am done. And indeed, if that's the case, then what? Then kulam shavin. Everyone is the same. Because I got to the finish line, Moshe Rabbeinu got to the finish line, Aaron HaKohen got to the finish line, Korach got to the finish line, we all got to our destination, and once you arrive at that destination, your holiness is locked in. This is the Harabos.
So that doesn't make everyone equal. Even according to that logic, we could all reach
different finish lines.
Oh. We're equal.
Oh, so good. Like, see, you're saying beautiful. Baruch Shekivanta. So look what the Rebbe says on going on. Look what he writes. He says, "Obefrat sha'az hayu kol Yisrael b'malo gavoa ma'od ki zochu kulam lahasagas nevuas ponim b'ponim." This might have been a rare circumstance in which everyone did reach the same finish line. Where? What is they're referring to? By Kabbalah Satorah. Right, by Kabbalah Satorah. Right, so even Moshe just had more of what Klal Yisrael had, but they all had the same experience. The Ribono Shel Olam spoke to them panim el panim. So Korach's Chava, you know, over here was, listen, Moshe, you spoke to God. We spoke to God. Now, granted, Moshe, you spoke to God 40 days and 40 nights. You also spoke to God whenever you also speak to God whenever you want to speak to God. That's fine.
But this is the climax, anyways, and we're all
correct. All died correct.
Because of it. He didn't, which showed that he was greater.
That what?
They all died because of it.
Okay, but leaving aside, that's a medrash. That's not Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra that didn't happen. Pshuto Shel Mikra, they spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if everybody spoke to Hashem, Korach's Havamina is we all have the same spiritual experience. All Moshe had was a prolonged experience. But everyone had, and by the way, if you go with Korach's Hashkafa, the duration of the experience is almost irrelevant. What matters is the experiential finish. Now, once you have the experience, you've arrived. You've gotten to your New York. You've gotten to your destination. If that's the case, Moshe, we all spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim al panim. We all had that same revelation. If we all have that same revelation, we all cross the same finish line, we all have the same Kiddusha, all of us, now here's the other part that we'll say, all of us, our Kiddusha is locked in, so madua tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why do you think that at the end of the day, you have any status over us? He goes on, he says, paragraph D, v'zeh sha'amar, this is what Korach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Lochan, ki kol ha'ido kulam kiddushim u'besocham Hashem, Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem, and this is what Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Lachem, you've taken too much for yourselves. because the entire Eidar Kedoshim, the Rebbe Shalom is in our midst. Umadua tisnasu ala Kal Hashem. Why is it that ultimately again you lord over Kal Hashem? Shehiksha. Korach's question was as follows. Madua tisnasu me'achar shekulam kidoshim v'kulam shamu b'sinai mipi ha'gvura. We'll say, it's when you begin to understand this in this way, the rebellion begins to make a bit more logical sense. Korach is essentially saying we all crossed the same exact finish line. Granted, Moshe, you had a prolonged experience, we had a shortened experience, but Lamai said at the end of the day, we all crossed the same exact finish line. If that's the case, we're all the same. If we're all the same, then Mehechate said that you should be a leader and we're not. Yes?
So where is jealousy? Is that a factor?
Of course. But you know, human beings, we are a very interesting creation. In that we do a lot of things for petty reasons, but we never admit that we're doing it for petty reasons. Instead, we like to mask our intentions with something higher, noble, or the most dangerous thing is when it's something spiritual. So if you're going to ask Korach, are you being petty? Chas v'shalom. This is not being petty. Shem Shemayim, right? It's not even about me. It's not about me. It's ultimately, it's about the people for Klal Yisrael. Because he feels that Moshe Rabbeinu is wronging Klal Yisrael.
In what way?
He's grabbing all of the power for him and his immediate family. And who says that only your family should be the leaders? Perhaps other people should be in leadership positions as well. And we could do, right? Moshe, remember, by the way, context is everything. This episode is on the heels of what? Is on the heels of the Meraglim. Now, remember, embedded in this storyline is an accusation of failure against Moshe Rabbeinu. Failure to what? Failure to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. It was nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the Meraglim. But first of all, again, it happens to be in general, it's an incredible din.
That's the payment of leadership.
Correct. That's leadership. Leadership is the buck stops with you. Even if you have absolutely nothing to do with it, even if it's mamish, not your fault at all, if it happens under your watch, there's a level of responsibility. So when you put this whole narrative together, what Korach essentially is saying is, Moshe, you failed. You failed. You failed miserably. Now we're condemned to live in the desert. Dying in the desert over the next 40 years. And to be honest, I'm not even sure why you're the leader. I'm not even sure who gave you the right to appoint yourself, quote unquote, appoint Aaron. Kulam Kedoshim. We're all equally qualified for these jobs. What do you mean we're equally qualified? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. No, we all have the same experience. We all experience the same revelation. We all experience the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, you have no right to take the position for yourself. See, he goes on. Look in paragraph D about three lines down. V'kulam shalom b'sinai piyak v'ur k'moshe dasha b'sinai zal shehayu haynu shekulam b'ma'ala gavoa v'nispatel mehem hayetzer hara. So look what the Rebbe says. What happened again when we were by Har Sinai said Nasa v'nishma? Right? Remember, not only was there a direct dialogue with the divine, but at the end, nisbatal mehem yitzhara. The yitzhara ceased to exist for that little bit of time. Ki paska zuhu masan, vizochu l'nevuas panim b'panim l'shmoa b'sinai mipi agvura anochi v'lo yielecha. So remember again, what the Rebbe points out is something amazing, which is what happens at Har Sinai. There are a number of things that happen. First of all, this lashon of paska zuhu masan. Remember again, there's an assumption going back to the sin of Adam and Chava that from the time that Adam and Chava sin, there's a certain impurity that is embedded within man. That impurity follows us throughout the ages. It is only when we said Naasa v'nishma at Har Sinai that the impurity left us. So if you're Korach, you're making the following argument. Number one, we all cross the same finish line, right? Number one, right? We all had the same experience, divine dialogical connection. We all spoke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with all of us. Not only that, the Yetzer Hara was nisbatel. The Yetzer Hara was negated within us. Paska zuhu mason. The impurity is outside of us. Now, what Korach is advocating about is two things. Korach is saying, number one, we're all on the same level because we all have the same experience. And number two, once the Yetzirah was eradicated by Matan Torah, then what? It is forever gone. It is forever purged. We are forever cleansed of it. But the Rebbe says, V'imkein, Mamma alaschem shal Moshe v'Aaron gavoh yosem ikulam. Paragraph E. If that's the case, why are Moshe and Aaron any greater than anyone else? Ki eich shayich od ma'ala yisera me'achar shekvar paska zuhumasan, ubatal mehema yitzahara, v'kulam kedoshim. If at the end of the day there's no more yitzahara for any of us, we all spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in reality we're on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Ava be'emes, kol zeh ta'a machmas gasusam. But Rabbi Nachman says, and Bennett, this goes to your point, see, what's underlying Korach's entire rebellion is not simply jealousy, but it's also arrogance. It's also arrogance. It's jealousy fueled by arrogance. Korach Mamish was a Baal Gaiva. So was his Gaiva, was his arrogance that fueled him and ultimately, again, misled him. He goes on, he says, Ki be'emes, afa pi shepaska zuhumasan, adayin hayu tzrichin kol echad ve'echad milchama gidola ima yitzahara shalamala, shu bechinas paragraph F, malach hakadosh bechinas gvuras v'dinin. So the Rebbe says something amazing. It is true that at Har Sinai, the Yetzirah stopped functioning, and it is true that at Har Sinai, Pascha Zuhumas, the impurity was removed, but what was Korach's mistake? Korach's mistake was thinking that once the Yetzirah became bottle and was removed, that it was gone forever. What he forgot is that even the greatest of tzaddikim has to fight against his Yetzirah each and every day. There is no such thing as coming to a point where you say, I take that back. There is a point when the battle is over. When is the battle over? When you die. So when you die, the battle with the Yetzirah is over. But until that moment that you die, the battle with the Yetzirah is ongoing. And by the way, it doesn't make a difference if you're the regular person or if you're Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single person struggles with their milchama, with their Yetzir. Paragraph F. Va'al kein, be'emes, kama nichshalu achar kach b'cheta egel amiraglim. So Rabbi Nachman says, here is the incredible fallacy of Korach's argument. Korach wants to say that what? Kulam kidoshim, we're all holy because we're all equal. Why are we all equal? Because we all have the same spiritual experience of Panim Apanim speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. So Moshe, you're no better than us. Not only that, but Moshe, the same way that Matan Torah purged you of your original sin impurity, and the same way that Matan Torah purged you of your Yetzirah, it purged us as well. We're all Kedoshim, we're all holy. If that's the case, you have no greater right to leadership than any of us. But says the Rebbe, where was their mistake? Korach's mistake was, it is true, that at the time of Matan Torah, so the Yetzirah was removed. But Rabbi Osai, remember, it might have been removed for that time, but it was very quickly restored. What's the raya? What's the proof to that? The proof to that is the chita egel, the sin of the golden calf. And the further proof to that is the chita meraglim, is the sin of the spies. Korach thought that once you vanquish the Yetzirah once, you're done forever. But in fact, that is not the case, Rav Osai. The melchama with the Yetzir, the melchama, the war with our desires, our passions, our proclivities, our predispositions, that is a war that we have to wage each and every day, whether you're a Moshe Rabbeinu or whether you're just an ordinary guy. There is no such thing as having reached the finish line. The journey is over, the struggle is over, and I'm golden. There's no such thing. And Rabbosai, once I accept the premise that the Yetzirah is never fully gone, but the struggle with the Yetzirah is ongoing, therefore what? We're not all equal. Because you have your struggles, and I have my struggles. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I fail. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you fail. As such, we're not all equal. We're not all equal. Every single person is a olam bifnei atzmo. Every single person is a world unto himself. And therefore, by definition, again, Korach's fundamental argument was flawed. The harder you work determines ultimately, again, the spiritual levels that you're able to reach. But by definition, each of us have to battle the Yetzirah every single day. So therefore, Korach's statement that we're all equal, we're all holy, is unequivocally false. We're not all equal. We might all be holy, that's true. Every Jew possesses an innate holiness, but we're not all equal. Because I will say, every single day, each of us is engaged in the struggle. Each of us is engaged in the war with the Yetzer. Today, I failed, you were successful. Yesterday, I was successful, you failed. And so by definition, you can't say Kulam Kedoshim. It's true, we're all holy, but we're not all equal, Rabbi Hussein. We're all literally at different places in life in any given moment. He goes on.
So how does, I mean, to me that's obviously very eye-opening about the fact that Gaiva can do that to you,
right,
even though there is a plain refutation to your logic and it's clearly flawed. Still doesn't explain 250 leaders who, even if you were to say they also had a bit of Gaiva, they didn't have as much to gain as Korah.
It's true. But if you think about it, this is a very compelling argument. Why is it a compelling argument? Because if you accept Korach's premise, then guess what? The struggle's over. I don't have to struggle because I've arrived. And that is such a beautifully compelling. Can you imagine if somebody were to tell you, you know what, I'm going to lead a movement, and the movement is running on one platform. One. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You never have to try. You arrived and you're done. It's pretty compelling. It's a pretty compelling argument because can you imagine just the anxiety that takes away?
So many, it would seem to be that they're hinging more on the concept and that idea versus, hey, we want to be the leaders also.
Correct. But by the Mefarshim point is that, I'll tell you why. Because remember, Korach's main argument was against the Kohen Gadol.
Correct.
There's only one Kohen Gadol.
Right.
So Korach wasn't advocating for 250 Kohanim Gedolim. So meaning, even if the rebellion is successful,
right,
you're replacing one person.
Right.
So there must have been that everyone else bought into the rebellion because of the rebellion ideology, not because of the...
There's always followers to an ideal.
Correct.
Statement.
But remember...
But the ideology needs to speak to people.
Correct.
In order for you to jump
but
in.
But at this particular time, there was arrogance, there was jealousy.
And let's be honest, Moshe Rabbeinu's approval numbers are way down. They're correct because of the Meraglim.
So
you know,
reason.
Correct. This was a perfect storm. But I just want to point out what's
wasn't
what's
a charismatic leader. Like he wasn't really that great of a leader.
Who?
He was a great person, Moshe. He wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't charismatic. The Torah brings that down.
I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says that he's kavad peh. You know what? Mm-hmm. What? I don't know. It could look. There's no question that it appears that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was or wasn't, Korach was definitely charismatic.
Right.
And again, remember, populist rebellions. Oh, look, the truth is, we don't have to imagine this. We have, I'm saying, without getting political, forget about Me Too. We have a president who was elected really because he wrote on the sentiment of just the common man, not even to the. I mean, so that's what Korach ultimately is doing over here. Korach is saying is, I have an ideology. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you you have to do. See, you have to think about it like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you have to do this, and this. Korach is essentially saying,
No, you don't.
You're good.
You're good.
Not only are you good, you're perfect. Mm-hmm. You're perfect. Not only are you perfect, you're as perfect as Moshe. That's a pretty compelling message. It's a pretty compelling message. And that's a pretty compelling movement to join onto. The only problem is that's what?
It's wrong.
It's a little detail. Just a small detail. It's just fundamentally flawed and incorrect. But aside from that, it's exceptionally compelling. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, Va'alkin bevada in laharich ulidamos shabnei Yisrael afal pisha kulam kedoshim kineged ragli Moshe va'aron va'afilu gidol Yisrael amitim ilam lahashos atzmon Moshe va'aron shezachu l'mashe zachu. So we'll say here's the difference. Moshe and Aaron never failed with the eagle. Moshe and Aaron never failed with the meraglim. Klal Yisrael did. So by definition, Korach, you're incorrect. You're not the same as Moshe and Aaron. Now again, you can be great, you can be wonderful, but you fell, your Yetzirah came back and you fell prey to it. So don't say this, but Amar, ki kala idem kulgu, paragraph H, ume'acha shekafer b'malas Moshe v'Aaron, kafer b'chala Torah shenitna al yadam, shenev liubadas. So suppose I say here, if we bring this all together, I think the Rebbe really advances for us just a dramatically incredible insight, first of all, into Korach's rebellion. Just understanding again, this is not just a whole bunch of misfits getting together and rebelling. This was Korach advocating a platform of everyone's perfect. We've all arrived, we've all crossed the finish line, everyone's wonderful, everyone's beautiful, everyone's heilig. And there's absolutely no difference between us and Moshe Rabbeinu. A very, very compelling argument. What blinds Korach? So what blinds Korach is his gaiva, is his arrogance. What blinds Korach is his jealousy. Now, there's another takeaway, which to me was what caught, really, really caught my neshama by this piece by the Rebbe, which is Rebbe saying that struggle is part of the fabric of life. Sometimes we have this delusion that if we work hard enough on something, again, I mean like in our avoda in life, I work hard enough on a midah, I work hard enough on correcting a negative trait, I work hard enough on avoiding an avera, that there'll come a point in time where what? Where then again that yetzahara is null and void. It's done. And the Rebbe tells us, it's not true. Life is a constant struggle. Every single day is a milchama. And even if I vanquished the Yetzirah yesterday, guess what? It's going to be back tomorrow. And I'm about to say, you know how it works? I mean, you're all tzaddikim. I'll tell you how it works. Mm-hmm. How it works is, it comes back tomorrow, and it comes back tomorrow with a vengeance. The great anomaly in the spiritual journey is that in everything else in life, the harder you work on something, the more proficient you become, the easier it becomes. So if I want to be a basketball player and every single day I practice for 3 hours and I practice my free throws, and again, it becomes easier over time. It's true with everything else in life. I want to do math, whatever you want to do, you fill in the blank. There's one area in life where it doesn't work. What area in life? Ruchnius. Ruchnius, even the harder you try, the struggle is still there. Now again, the harder I try, the more I know how to combat the Yitzhara. The harder I try, the more tools I have in my arsenal. But sometimes we lull ourselves into thinking that the more I train, the more proficient I become, the struggle goes away. The Rebbe tells us, not true. The struggle is part of the fabric of the human condition. Even if I cross the finish line today, there is no guarantee that I'm going to stay at that finish line, unless, of course, I work hard to preserve my ruchnius, to preserve my spirituality, to identify the negative things, unless I understand that every single day, my sensitivities, my morality, my hashkafas, my neshama is going to be bombarded with things that seek to bring me down. No matter how much I've accomplished, the nisayon is always waiting for us. No matter how much I accomplish today, that is no guarantee for success tomorrow. Each and every day is its own milchama. Each and every day is its own nisayon. Each and every day is its own journey. We should be zocher Rabbos HaMeretz Hashem to reach our destinations, but we should never get comfortable in those destinations. A, because when you get to point A, there's always more to travel, and B, because even once you've crossed the finish line, there's absolutely no guarantee without hard work, without constant struggle, without constant effort, that I'll be able to stay there.
So I mean, that kind of negates the whole, like,